This is a download from the BBC. For more information and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
bbclearningenglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
You're listening to The Reading Group from BBC World Service. In this series, we bring together listeners, students of English, literature teachers, and other contributors from the world of books to share their enthusiasm for reading. We hope that following this series will encourage your own interest in reading books in English as a foreign language.
Hello. In the reading group today, we hear reasons to read the books of the young British novelist Zadie Smith. Her recently published second novel, The Autograph Man, is all about fame, and her first novel, White Teeth, written when she was only 21, made her famous. Later in the programme, a reading group member from Iran tells us why she's a fan. In Zadie Smith's novels, the characters come from many different cultural backgrounds, and we focus first today on what it's like for students of English to read books containing cultural references that may be strange and unfamiliar. With me to identify some of the difficulties of reading books set in different cultures and to offer ways of improving your understanding is Sheila Dignan. Sheila is a lexicographer and a teacher. Sheila, welcome to the reading group.
Hello, thank you very much. Yes, I've been teaching English as a foreign language for several years now, and for the last 20 years I've been working as a freelance lexicographer, writing dictionaries for students of English and for children.
You were the original driving force behind and editor of the first cultural dictionary for learners of English, the Longman Dictionary of Language and Culture. First of all, let's talk about what a cultural dictionary is and how they can help students to read books in English.
The basic idea behind a cultural dictionary of English is the idea that all native speakers of a language share a body of knowledge, which they have simply because they've grown up in the same culture. They've been through the same education system, they've lived with the same institutions, read the same books, watched the same television programmes, etc., etc. And that when writers write, they draw on this body of knowledge and they tap into it to convey meaning. If I can give you some examples, words like 11 plus, unemployment benefit, Woolworths, Marks and Spencers, references to literary characters, Scrooge, Peter Pan. I could use all of those words as part of the language to convey meaning and you would understand them. For a non-native speaker, they can fail to understand what a reader, what a writer is trying to convey.
How do you go about choosing the words and cultural references to include in a dictionary? We heard in our last programme that Samuel Johnson had 40,000 entries in his dictionary, each one written out on a separate sheet of paper. But how do you go about choosing what to include in a cultural dictionary?
Firstly, by reading texts. We read a lot of newspapers. They're quite a good guide to the kinds of information, cultural information, that readers will come across. I think having had experience of teaching, all the people who worked on the book had that experience and so knew the kinds of problems that learners of English had. It's also having worked on standard dictionaries, we're very aware of the information we were leaving out. Now, a good example of that is the word ladder, where if you're defining ladder for a standard dictionary, you would define the rungs and the bars and simply the structure. If you look at how the word ladder is used, you get an awful lot of references to walking under ladders, bringing bad luck. Now that, as standard lexicographers, there's a frustration of not being able to include that information. And of course, in this book, we were able to include it.
Well, let's put the dictionary to the test, if you like. We've both got copies of the Longman Dictionary of English Language and Culture. Let's have a look and see what the entry is for ladder. Here we are. Ladder. Maybe you could talk us through it.
Yeah, OK, so here we have the standard definition at the top, a structure consisting of two bars or ropes joined to each other by steps, rungs, and used for climbing. Now, that would be the standard dictionary definition. There's then an example of use. And then underneath, we have a cultural note which says, there is an old superstition which says that it is unlucky to walk under a ladder.
OK, so you've got a standard definition and then your cultural note in capital letters. Next one.
Can we look at the word pirate?
Pirate.
It's quite an interesting one.
OK, pirate.
Now, what we have here is, again, the entry starts with a standard dictionary definition, a person who sails the seas, stopping and robbing ships at sea. But, of course, what we share as native speakers of English is a cultural stereotype of a pirate. If I asked you to draw me a picture of a pirate, what would you draw?
I think I'd draw something very like the picture that's here, a man with a scarf on his head and a sword in his hand.
That's right. But what we also have, yes, is that, as we go further down the entries, pirates in stories often speak roughly, drink a lot, especially rum, and have a parrot on their shoulder. They sometimes wear a black patch over one eye and have a wooden leg. They also use phrases which are connected especially with pirates, for example, shiver me timbers, used as a phrase showing great surprise. The point about it is that this stereotype of a pirate would not be the same in other cultures.
Sheila Dignan, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Koren Zarindust from Iran is here to share her enthusiasm for the novels of Zadie Smith.
Hello, it's great to be here. I really enjoyed reading Zadie Smith's novels.
When her White Teeth was published in the year 2000, it was an instant bestseller. But what's it all about? Well, the story centres on the friendship between two men, Archie and Samad. Archie is an Englishman whose job involves folding paper leaflets. Samad is a frustrated Bengali waiter. Around them circle Archie's Jamaican wife, Clara, and her mother, Archie and Clara's daughter, Irie, Samad's wife and their difficult sons, and a multitude of friends from almost every known race and religion. It's worth noting that Zadie Smith has an English father and Jamaican mother, and she grew up in a part of North London with a lively cultural mix. In any case, White Teeth is very much about ideas of inheritance and about the danger of something cultural being lost as generations of people settle in other countries. Zadie Smith explains.
It's a painful thought to think that if we're coming to these countries only to be assimilated by some huge Americanized kind of service station culture where everybody's being given the same thing or the ideal thing for a white American male, then that's not something that any of us want, I don't think. So it's about trying to strike some kind of balance between where you come from and where you are and being able to survive that transition.
Trying to strike some kind of balance between where you come from and where you are. Do you identify in any way with that, Koren?
I do, 100%. I am very much Iranian. By that I don't mean religiously, but I think I have cultural habits that are very Iranian. And I'll give you an example. Like, for instance, when I moved to England, I would offer my food to all my classmates round, and if they would not take it, I would insist. And everyone would look at me as if I was mad or I was trying to poison them. And I learned that this is not a conventional habit here. You take your own food out of your lunchbox or whatever, and you eat it. You don't offer it round.
Why do you like the novel White Teeth so much?
I think White Teeth came out at a very, very interesting time. It was at the time which I think was the peak of political correctness, where everyone was of the belief that it is all okay, there's equal opportunities, we're all the same, and there's no difference in colour. And there wasn't anyone from the second or the third generation of the immigrants who were brought up here to come out and say, actually, it is not the case. There are lots of differences. People are treated differently. And Zadie Smith did that.
Now, Zadie Smith's White Teeth. Why do you think it's called White Teeth?
One of the characters of the book, called Clara, is this beautiful, elegant, brilliant-looking, glamorous woman, originally from Jamaica. She's tall. She looks a lot like Naomi Campbell, if you like. Her main problem in terms of her looks is her teeth. She doesn't have good teeth. She lacks upper teeth. It's one of those problems that I think there is no way of repairing. Even though she puts on artificial teeth, they will never take place of real teeth. She hides this secret from her child, Irie, I think, till when she's 16 or something, and she actually finds out for herself. So I wonder if it's a reference to things that we are born with and we can't change, like colour of skin, lack of teeth, being disabled, things that we can't change and we have to live with whether or not we like them. That's my understanding.
Corinne, thank you very much for joining us on the Reading Group today.
Thank you.
Now, author Gillian Lazar joins us again. Gillian is one of the team of lexicographers who wrote the Longman Dictionary of English Language and Culture, which we discussed earlier in the programme. So, for the Reading Group today, she too focuses on some of the problems we encounter when reading books from other cultures, and she offers some solutions.
Last time, I mentioned that a good reader is like a detective, searching for clues. But readers, just like detectives, are shaped by the culture or society in which they live. Imagine a detective preparing to investigate a crime at a wedding. Depending on the detective's nationality, religion, or background, he or she might have all kinds of assumptions about what happens at weddings. What do the bride and groom wear, for example? What happens at the ceremony? Readers reading a novel about a wedding may also have different expectations about it, depending on their own society, religion, or background. Reading about a wedding from a culture different from our own may be fascinating and exhilarating, but also confusing and difficult. So, how can we read books from other cultures more effectively? One way is to prepare ourselves a little before we start reading, by gathering together some useful background information. We might ask ourselves, for example, who the writer was or is, and in what circumstances the text was written. For classic novels, literary encyclopedias may provide helpful background. For more modern novels, newspaper reviews and the wide range of resources on the internet can provide us with a few clues. From this background information, we can begin to make some predictions about the book, so that we actively engage in interpreting its cultural meanings while we read. As we read, we may be puzzled by some of the cultural references in the book, particularly to objects, customs, or institutions that do not exist in our own society. But it may just be possible to guess from context what these mean. For example, a poem by South African poet Stephen Gray entitled Apollo Cafe lists, among other things, the comic books Watermelon and brooms that can be bought at the cafe. To a European reader, this is slightly baffling, as a cafe is a place to drink coffee. But for a South African, a cafe, or kaffie, as it is known, is a small shop selling a lot of different goods, a corner shop to a British reader, a drugstore to an American, and perhaps something entirely different to you. If you were reading the poem in a book, you might be able to guess from the context what kind of place a South African cafe is. If you can't guess, dictionaries and reference books may provide some help. The Longman Dictionary of English Language and Culture, for example, contains many entries providing cultural information. My students have found this of particular help when reading British or American novels. But take heart even if a cultural dictionary is no use. We inevitably interpret books differently, depending on the age we live in or the social groups to which we belong. Reading books from other cultures does open other worlds to us, but sometimes these worlds may never be fully understood.
Gillian Lazar, thank you. Next time, we offer help on choosing what to read.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme. If you'd like to share your reading experiences, you can join our BBC Learning English group on Facebook. We'll have a different topic on the discussion board each week, linked to the subjects covered in the reading group programmes. So, until next time, happy reading.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.